Hello, everybody. This is Scott Framler and Shelley Netko here on The Mental Knot. We're in the studio with Rock and Robin and friends. And, man, we haven't been up here in a while, huh?
I know.
We haven't had some fun like this in a little bit.
Felt like forever.
And Robin, doesn't Shelley look pretty?
Oh,
she looks beautiful.
Looks
she's all shiny.
Yeah,
you're like a pregnant
great.
Lady, but not.
Oh, God.
You know how like, pregnant women are like all shiny and like, hey.
I would run into traffic if that was true right now.
Yeah, no, it'd be a problem, wouldn't it?
This is the look of happiness.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and no, it is.
Pregnant to glow.
You're almost as shiny as my forehead.
Oh.
Like, no bullshit.
Nice.
Right?
Well, you shouldn't have shined up the forehead before you went on.
It's like polished. I was looking on there. I'm like, holy shit.
Did you wax it?
Yeah, you know.
It's happening.
You got to do that every now and then. It's a fine head. Actually.
You're waxing yours.
Yeah.
So I'm powdering mine.
Right.
It works.
So today, you know, we talk on the phone like we always do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we came up with a list of things to discuss. And one of them is fear.
Fear.
And it's fear of...
everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just fear in general, right?
Right.
And,
fear,
you know...
we talked about truth. Fear of
yes.
truth. Fear of what you believe in, fear of believing in yourself, all kinds of things.
Yeah, and that's a product of judgment somewhat,
mm-hmm.
And a product of really who you are. You know, a lot of times when people judge or they have fears, it's about them. It's not about someone else.
Right.
And, you know, like Lee was on here a little bit ago, and he was talking about, you know, how like the recovery process and all that and how you can't be a victim. And, you know, you take all those things away. You take away ego, you know, victimization, you know, all those things. And fear starts to go away.
Right.
But let's break it down. Let's talk about it like we always do. We'll do some of the old school shit, huh?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to work.
Okay.
So fear of, what can we say? Relationships? You want to talk about fear of judgment? You want to talk about...
Well, I think oftentimes we think that the fear is of being judged, but a lot of it is just our self-confidence sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And that can absolutely paralyze you from even making the smallest decision. And when you have fear of just a small decision, then sometimes you can't even get beyond the thought of what that means. And that's it can become debilitating. And then that can become a way of life if you don't get one step in the right direction and move towards confidence.
Yeah.
And if you can't make that smallest move, you can never make a big move, right?
Right. And, you know, I remember I was watching this thing about motivation, and it was a Navy SEAL. And he gives a speech to like a college group. You've probably seen that.
Ooh, I love that guy.
Remember, right?
Yeah.
And he says the first thing you do every morning is you make your bed, right? Like
yep.
That's your first achievement of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you move on from there.
Yeah.
And that's a powerful thing. And you realize too that, you know, the first achievement of the day, you're not picking up your phone and hanging out on your phone. You're getting up out of bed and you're making your bed and you're moving forward. And that's what starts kind of that process, right?
And that's almost too, like just that simple thing is like, oh, here, look what I did. This
right.
is nice.
Right.
This is part of who I am. It's pride.
You know, the thing that people are, or not people, I'm not going to speak for everybody, but it seems like the people that we've met since we started doing this show and all the things that we've learned is a lot of the fear is people being afraid of being who they really are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an interesting thing, and myself included, right? Like we've all been there. We've all done that. And it's cool when you start seeing people be authentic and be able to be who they are, like who they really are.
Right.
And, you know, whatever that is, as long as you're not hurting anybody, like I always say, as long as you're not hurting anybody, like do your deal, man. If you want to date 10 people or one person or whatever you want to do, do it. You know, believe in what you want to believe, do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the mentality that I know that we need to be at, is to accept people for who they are. Let the past go, you know, but every day we always talk about being new. And then asking your question, like, why? Like, if I am afraid, well, then why? You
mm-hmm.
know? We always joke around about that word, but it works. It freaking works.
I love the why word now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are you scared of?
Ooh. Wow. That's funny.
We didn't actually talk about that.
I just asked somebody that question the other day. That was a good
like,
discussion.
What are you fearful of?
I guess not being in a state of love or being... having people in my life who I can love and who love me.
Really?
Yeah.
But you have tons of people. You have Ava.
I know, but I know. I mean, I have many, 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 many people.
Right.
But I guess sometimes when I get into a place of vulnerability, that's my ultimate fear, which is the ultimate thing that I cherish the most. So it's the opposite of what I cherish is the loss of it, I guess, would be the fear.
That makes sense.
Does that make sense?
Okay, so, you know, in like the response, like the clinical response, and I'm not a clinician, but if the clinical response would be, oh, well, you love yourself, so you don't need it from the outside world. But we do.
No, we do.
It's important.
Absolutely,
we do. It's important to have that support group and have healthy people around mm-hmm. you and, mm-hmm. and all that. And like Lee was saying, you know, like you can love people. It's okay to love people, mm-hmm. right? And even people you meet, like you can say, hey, I love you. Like you're a really great person, you know, like right on.
Right.
But I get what you're saying. And when you say fear, like fear of loss, what does that even mean? Like,
I think maybe, I don't know if that's driven by because I've lost. And so I understand.
Like a past trauma.
Yeah, past like trauma. And just valuing what it feels like to be on the other side of that.
Right.
And knowing that what fills that is love. And that's the only thing that can fill it.
Uh-huh.
So I guess the fear is not having that. But also at the same time, my rational mind tells me, which fear is irrational.
Right.
So my rational mind tells me, well, that's stupid because that's doesn't never going to happen.
Sense, right?
And I know it's never going to happen, but if someone says, what's your fear? My fear is not having love in my life. That's it. It's that simple.
That's cool.
And I know a lot of people fear, you know, dying poor. Well, you should die poor because that means you lived your life.
Right, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
What do you want to die a rich man and leave it to everybody?
Yeah, you know, that's the funny thing too is, you know, like, okay, dating sites.
Yes.
You know, we were both on dating sites for a long time and not, well, whatever. Not for a long time.
Well, whatever.
Definition.
It's relative.
So what's powerful to me is like you see people like, hey, I'll like you if you're not liberal or I'll like you if
yes.
you're, you know, not X or Y or whatever, da, 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 da.
Sure.
And when I read that, I'm like, oh, you're fearful of somebody being different than you.
Sure.
Like that. So you're going to judge anybody. You don't want to have anything to do with anybody who doesn't think like you.
Right.
I'm like, wow, that's telling.
But really what you know? They're fearful of is how they're going to respond to that person.
Right.
Who's not like
if they're not if they're going to judge or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it that's one of the things that people fear and I have too in the past is people that are different or you fear that, hey, you can be better and then there won't be any issue. Right. Like some people are actually scared of that. Some people like that trauma and they like that drama and they like mm-hmm. that living in a state of conflict and all that. You know, mm-hmm. we talk about toxic. It takes two people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if one of the people in that environment isn't fearful anymore and they get healthy, you know, and I'm not saying fear isn't healthy. I'm
right.
just saying that you know, once you start minimizing those things and you start getting healthy, well, then
yeah.
that person's either going to have to get healthy or fall away. One of the two things happens.
Well, just the loss of the dynamic can end a relationship.
Right.
Because
right.
the dynamic itself, which is that drama, trauma, whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it, toxicity.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know, the ups and downs, the misinterpretation for that as love is what a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Is that they connect that with maybe what their original attachment was with parents, if it was inappropriate or misaligned or
sure.
Anxiety driven.
Mm-hmm.
And then they see that in a relationship as home and then misinterpret that for love.
And the fear could be, too, owning your own shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we both have friends. People
Very
come out of the woodwork,
so.
Right, about, oh, this has happened to me or I'm getting divorced or whatever. And again, I'm not a clinician. You way more. I mean, you could
not,
qualify
I'm
for sure.
I'm not a clinician.
But the interesting thing is when you ask them, okay, what did you do to fix yourself? Well, what do you mean? That wasn't about me. No,
yeah.
dude. It was about you for sure. If you're
sure.
in a toxic relationship, it takes two. So what did you do to heal from that relationship? Like you can't just change relationships or move on or, oh, I'm going to be happy now. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
Like you still have to do the work and understand why.
Mm-hmm.
And even if the why is just, why were you there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and unpack that.
Right.
Right. Even if it's just that. But people are so fearful of being in a situation where they can be like, man, you know, I was wrong or I didn't handle that right or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most any conflict can be evaluated like that. Like, why did I even have a conflict in the first place? Like, what actually happened there? And how did that happen? Like, why did that happen?
Right.
And then unpacking that and not just being like, oh, you know, we got an argument and da-da-da-da and they were effer. No, like what was that about? Like,
mm-hmm.
what was that whole dynamic about? Why did that actually happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting too, when you start to realize things in your life that may be conflict, sometimes there's a person that's always around, you know what I'm saying? Like involved in that somehow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you start realizing, you know, as you become healthier and healthier and, you know, we were talking about sobriety and all that kind of stuff, you become very conscious of the situations in your life, past, present, and then what you want in the future.
Mm-hmm.
That sobriety gives you that ability,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty interesting.
And sometimes too, in relationships like what you're describing is that that behavior, whatever it's, whether it's anger driven, you know, that dynamic is who they are as a couple sometimes. Mm-hmm. And people get so locked into it that they don't know how to step out or do anything else or throw up the red flag and say, stop.
Yeah. It's like, let's do this.
They wake up and they are bitching at each other. They go to bed bitching at each other. I mean, it just does not end.
Right.
And to them, we stay together. Why? Because it's what we do.
Right. It's what, and it's how
that
we are.
Is sad. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And the sad part is that choice, right? Like I go back to my romantic self and I'm like, man, you know, if you choose love and you choose this person, you can make it work. Mm. I truly believe that. Mm. I know
you do.
I know. Robin thinks
it's okay.
Robin thinks like me too.
I'm not gonna discount your thoughts.
No,
they're very
I'm
valid.
Just saying though, but yeah, you know, it goes back to, you know, if you're in the foxhole together, or however you want to say it, like if you're together and you support each other and you have each other's back, it's pretty hard to fuck that up.
Right.
You know what I mean? And even if it's a family or a friend or whatever, I mean, if you support the people around you and you're not fearful of rejection or you're not fearful of, you know, speaking your mind and you can really be who you are and be authentic, mm-hmm. well, that's pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. And it changes a lot of things in your life, you know, and it's taken... Shit, it's taken me 51 years to figure this shit out, you know, mm-hmm. and I still don't know. Mm-hmm. But I regurgitate what smart people tell me, right? And then I try to practice it,
right.
You know. But one of the things that I was super fearful of, and totally transparent, is I was scared to be sober mm-hmm. because, like, completely sober. When I say sober, I mean like not drink for you know, months on end and mm-hmm. things like that. And I was super scared of that because I was scared to unpack trauma again, like start over. Because I never wanted to feel that way again, right? Like that's one of the reasons why I do this show, because I never want to be in that spot again.
Plus unpack it under new circumstances where there was absolutely no opportunity to not feel for 10 minutes or 4 hours or whatever your
or
life
you,
was before.
Yeah, or you drink a lot and you pass out and you wake up the next morning. And that was one of the things that I was really, really scared of. And when I started going through that process, I was like, wow, man, this is pretty gnarly. But the difference is this. That when you unpack pain, trauma, whatever, life, mm-hmm. when you're sober, it's a different experience, and it doesn't hurt as bad. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
That's it's called not as, healing pain, not hurting pain. It's healing pain.
It's healing pain. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And it, you know, like if I don't know, it was just different. I can't really explain.
It's almost like the difference between growth when it's forced upon you, change when it's forced upon you, versus change when it's your choice.
Yeah. And you can't really change unless you choose, number one.
Right.
But like I said before, you know, my romanticism, that you choose each other, like you choose a partner and then you stand by them no matter what, right? Mm-hmm. And I get, you know, things don't work out, right? We've all been divorced and whatever, right? A couple times, some of us. But anyway, I'm not looking at you.
Let's add them up, guys.
I'm just talking to myself looking over at you.
Okay. Yeah. Do we have a tally chart?
Yeah, I know. Like, dink.
I probably got you both beat.
Yeah, you know, and then, you know, relationships and stuff like that, you know, you know, you've dated and I've dated and, you know, you go, not go through, but you date people sometimes and you just know it's not going to work. And when you're in that healthy space and you're not fearful of being alone, then you can say, hey, this isn't working and wish you the best. Maybe we'd be friends, maybe not, whatever. But, you know, but you do that more quickly.
Yes.
Because if you're not fearful of being alone, and that's a huge fear that people have of being alone. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about that. And I know I'm blobbing a lot, so just tell me to shut up.
No, you're good.
But the interesting thing about that fear of being alone is like you can have a companion like with your phone or social media mm-hmm. or you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like actually being present and not being mm-hmm. on those devices all the time. Like that's a tough thing to do, right? Mm-hmm. Like none of us have our phones out.
Right.
Nope. But yours probably because it's charging, but no.
It's charging.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
it's also on airplane
that's a
mode.
Third, right? Like that's a total third.
Yeah.
And not having those things around is critical, not for only for respect, like as a partnership or relationship or, you know, you're out in a social event or whatever, mm-hmm. but it's also respect for yourself and being able to be alone by mm-hmm. yourself. And mm-hmm. that's a big deal.
Right.
That was one of my biggest fears.
That makes sense. And one of the things I was thinking about as you were saying that was, you know, when I said my fear was not having love in my life, mm-hmm. some people might interpret that as, oh, wow, she's afraid of being alone. You know, red flag, stay away from her. But that's not it. I'm not afraid of being alone.
Right.
There's a huge difference.
Oh, yeah.
It's because I do love myself. But there's a big gap between being alone and loving yourself and loving other people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people who don't understand it definitely misinterpreted, I think.
Sure. Yeah. I think so too. Yeah. But that's also judgment too.
Yeah.
Right? Like if somebody says, hey, I'm fearful of this, and you're like, oh, because you're scared to be alone, that's a form of judgment.
Right.
You know, you should, the real question, the real dialogue should be like, well, wow, really? Why?
Mm-hmm.
And because it's about you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, the biggest disconnect, right, is when you see somebody and they say something or you attack, not attack, but you address it in that way rather than, well, explain that to me. Like, really, what's going on?
Sure.
It shows an interest and a genuineness in caring about the people around you,
mm-hmm,
instead of judging the people around you,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like understanding like actually who they are.
Mm-hmm.
We had this thing today. I was actually on a job this morning. It was kind of weird because, right, like I shouldn't wear work boots. We'd lose money if I wear work boots. So there's the guys are on this job, and one of the guys is European, and he's very direct. That's his culture.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we didn't have equipment or something, and he's like, well, if we don't have it, then why are we here? And he said that to the customer, and I was like, whoa, that's not how we talk, right?
Right.
Like, we come up with solutions, and but I was realizing at the same time, like, this is who he is.
That's authentic who he is.
He's authentic who he is, but he's also, like, fearing change a little bit because that's not the world we live in, you know, especially as a contractor for, you know, an important customer or whatnot.
Sure.
And it was one of those things where I was like, it wasn't like, hey, don't do that. It was like, hey man, you know, here's why we need to address that differently. Like we need to soften those corners a little bit because, you know, we don't live in a world where people are cool with you just telling them like, what the fuck am I here for?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like that doesn't work.
Yeah.
So, and it makes people, it puts them on edge, you know, but, and then he was actually like, well, I don't understand that. And it was almost like he was fearful of that change because he didn't want to be different.
Sure.
He's used to being who he is and he's scared.
And he's not going to embrace it like that either.
Yeah. It wasn't like that at all.
Because
yeah,
he's probably like, been that way for 30 or 40
years.
Yeah,
he's probably like, I'm out of here. You know, but no, but after a few minutes, he's like, oh yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, you just can't, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, you can do that, but right, it's not conducive to an environment where we're going to come up with solutions.
Sure.
That's conducive to an environment where we're going to say like, see ya.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. And it sounds like he's being authentic, you're being authentic,
yeah,
and that's all we can
and
hope
we're being
for.
Truthful.
Truthful,
right?
And authentic.
Instead of avoiding an issue and moving on. And that's another thing too, is being, having the ability and being fearless about having a conflict and knowing that it can be productive.
Right.
And that it doesn't have to be like conflict, you know?
Right.
We talked on another show about being a peaceful warrior, right? Like you have a light in your hand, not a weapon,
mm-hmm,
and you shine light on the issue. You don't try to destroy shit and beat mm-hmm somebody up and take over from mm-hmm like an ego perspective,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's powerful too when, especially men, leave ego out of decisions and their life, not totally, right? Like there's some good to that, but in general, ego creates a situation where it's based on fear,
mm-hmm,
right? Because like, oh my God, what if somebody doesn't think I'm cool or like amazing and, you know, tough or whatever the fuck it
right
is, right?
Well, that's that living that perception though. It's whether it came from childhood and, you know, falling in line with doing what your parents
mm-hmm
told you to do or followed their dreams instead of your own dreams. So you're not being authentic and genuine to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then moving forward, and then you move into whether it's a relationship or a job or whatever it is, and you're constantly putting everyone else's opinions above yourself,
mm-hmm,
then you're living a perception of what you think everyone wants you to be.
Right.
And you suddenly arrive at 51, like you said, 51 and sober, and you're like, oh shit, this is my authentic self. It feels pretty good.
Yeah.
Some people never get that chance. But it would be nice if these messages would be heard by people who are just getting into their 20s or, you know, they're in a place where something resonates and
mm-hmm
and they realize, oh, wait, you know, I have been talking to my mom and she does want me to do this and I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like somebody needs to have that conversation in a loving, kind, open, you know, coming from a place of you know, just pure hope for my happiness and your happiness and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be done. But unfortunately, right, people approach, what do we say, having different opinions
mm-hmm
as conflict.
Right. And that's like a form of change too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like people are, not people. Well, you can be fearful of change too, right?
Most people are.
Right. And then you look at, like you were saying, a different opinion maybe about politics or religion or whatever.
Yes.
That could be a change. Like, oh, I might have to change my perception. Or my thought process about like, hey, it's okay if you believe in X.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay if I believe in Y.
Or become more understanding. That's
right.
Uncomfortable
and don't
for
judge
people.
It is. It is super uncomfortable. But, you know, we can sit here all day long at the table and be like, oh, yeah, you know, people are scared. But we're those people, too.
Sure.
Right? And just being accountable Like, I've been that way, yeah. And I still sometimes am. Mm-hmm. And then you catch yourself and you're like, wait a second, I need to change that thought process, right?
Right.
The other thing, too, when you manage your fear, and, you know, some fears are healthy, right? Like, if there's somebody walking down the street with a gun, like, you run. Like, that's because you're fearful of getting sure. shot, right? Yes. Like, that's a good fear.
That's survival.
But when you start, yeah, when you start managing your fears, then you start really being present and understanding yourself and your reality mm-hmm. and the things and people that you have around you, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Because you shouldn't have fear if you have a good support system. Like, what would you be fearful of?
Right.
Like, I could probably say anything to you and not be fearful.
Right.
Like, even today when Robin said, you know, like, you look beautiful in your dress. And I was like, oh, you know, you look like a pregnant lady. You're so shiny or whatever.
Right.
I wasn't fearful that you'd take that as anything other than a nice compliment.
Sure.
Right. And that's a form of fear, too. Like, yeah. some people in, you know, like, organizations, what are you smiling at?
Well, when some people say you look like a pregnant lady, she might think you're saying that she looks fat.
But she's not fat.
Of course not. She's yeah. in great shape.
She weighs like 100 pounds.
But yeah. a lot of women would think that.
Yeah, that's true.
They're self-conscious.
Yeah. But I wasn't fearful, right? Because she knows me.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
But, you know, like we talk about, like, in a corporate environment, that you would be fearful to say something like that. Because right. sometimes it could be inappropriate. Like, sure. I wouldn't say that to somebody that I didn't really know
sure.
very well. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you walk in here and you pretty much say things to us that wouldn't fly in most corporate places.
This is true.
We've talked about our
lack of HR, haven't we?
Like, I can't say the F word in a corporate environment,
exactly.
right?
But you walk in here and you just do whatever.
And we just, like, start yeah. talking away. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
So that's, you know, well, that's sort of a respect thing, too. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain environments where you just wouldn't do that out of respect, not out of fear.
Yeah.
But
so what are you
yeah.
saying? You don't respect me? No, I'm kidding.
No.
I'm kidding.
I love you. That's why I'm doing
it. He does respect you. That's yeah. why he uses the F word.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that is, that's a fear, too, you know, that needs to be managed somewhat also so people can be authentic.
Yeah.
And then not have that fear of judgment or fear of, you know, retaliation mm-hmm. or whatever it may be to mm-hmm. be your authentic self mm-hmm. respectfully. Mm-hmm. But that's also another fear, too, that, mm-hmm. that you know, exists in society and whatever. And mm-hmm. then, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, exclusion, inclusion, rejection, things right. like that. That's right. a big fear, too.
Yeah.
That's huge. Like, if you don't have self-worth,
yeah.
you're scared to death to be rejected. Like, fuck, I was forever. You know, I'm like, I want to be part of the crew. I want to be part of this fun.
Everybody wants a sense of belonging.
Yeah. And when you don't have that, that's a powerful tool.
It's powerful. And when someone comes and shines a light on it, lights out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yep.
It's like you're going to go back to your child's mind
mm-hmm.
and go to that place where you were. And yeah. I know we're going to save this for another
Yep. If you're not going to be in the play in the sandbox, then your adult mind is gone.
Yeah.
Like, you're back to kindergarten and you're going to start throwing shit.
As soon as that incident happens, you are three.
Yeah.
You're a three-year-old and it takes some work to get yourself in a place where you say, wait, I'm not 3 years old.
Right.
But if it's an emotional situation and if it brings up a lot,
mm-hmm.
then you have to go through a lot to get to the place where you get to yourself and say, I'm not three.
And isn't it powerful too? Like, your brain and your emotions work so fast that I can feel sometimes, like the other day I was in a situation and I didn't respond super poorly, but I didn't respond as good as I would if I'd waited a day or two.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
But like where you're like, your emotions start to almost like snowball.
Yeah.
And you can control it, but like it's like so massive. You know what I mean? You're kind of like, you know what I mean? You're like, oh man, you know, and you get fired up, I guess is a good way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're fearful of not like responding immediately, or you're fearful of not, you know, sticking up for yourself or whatever. And a lot of times that's ego driven. But truly you're fearful of not being like in control or a cool person or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of like log roll, like, oh, this is wrong. Like, we're not doing this. But then you don't ask yourself the question.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you can't at that place because, I mean, you literally can't at that first moment.
Because you're fired up.
It takes a little time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And where you're responding from is what, who is it? Massey, Dr. Massey. He talked about the you are who you were when concept,
mm-hmm.
which is whatever those responses were that you developed by the age of 5 or 6. That's your response to that crisis mode, that stress mode, that rejection mode,
mm-hmm.
that conflict mode. That's who you are, and you carry that same response throughout life.
Right.
Some people never move out of it. Now, people who move into growth, people who move into self-awareness, people who move into therapy, learning, all that kind of stuff, they can learn new methods, but still when something comes up and it triggers you, you're three again.
Yeah.
And you have to take a minute and really, like, you're going to breathe, you're going to think, you're going to step aside, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So that's why the first thing you should do is take your phone and throw it against the wall and yeah. walk out of the room.
Right.
Especially if it's like something where you're like, it's an email, it's a text, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
No, step away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let it go. And that's even harder to do sometimes too. Cause you're like, nope, I'm going to like handle this right now. Like, yeah. da, 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 da. And that's where, you know, back to that sobriety thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like most of my, you know, immediate responses or inappropriate responses or whatever were when I wasn't sober.
Mm-hmm.
And now when we say sobriety, I mean, we're talking like, I don't get, you know, intoxicated.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like I'll have a drink here and there.
Yeah.
I'm not like completely sober.
Yeah. But also
but there's
emotional
big lengths
sobriety,
of time.
Which,
yeah.
Who was it? Teresa? Who's
yes.
Here?
Yes.
Emotional
where you manage
sobriety.
Your responses yeah. to things. Yeah.
yeah.
And you don't be like,
yeah. Come
but
from
emotional
a place
sobriety
of neutrality.
Also comes with that sobriety or control of your substance in mm-hmm. your life, whether it be, you know, social media, like we were talking about, mm-hmm. alcohol, drugs, mm-hmm. whatever it is, you know, you're also managing those elements in your life and having people around you that are healthy and help you manage those elements mm-hmm. in your life, right? Because people are there to support you and help you be the best person you can be, and you're helping them be the best
right.
person they can be.
Right.
And then it does. It takes away a lot of that fear.
Yes, it's
so,
true. It's
yeah.
true. And the other thing that's going on, too, is when something like that comes up, is it triggers your nervous system and everything that's stored in your body from
yeah.
all those traumas and everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like red flag, you know, fire, fire, fire. And that's what's going on in your body.
Right.
And you have to, like, just really have that awareness, too. And so many people don't. So for us to just sit here and have this conversation, think, oh, yeah, this is easy. You know, just do this and you count to 10 and mm-hmm. take a deep breath and, you know, whatever, walk around the block, come back, and then you can just be awesome and be able to do whatever you need to do. And mm-hmm. nobody's going to get upset or anything. No, you might go through 3 days of shit to get to a place where you're like, OK, I'm cool. I understand it now.
Right.
This isn't truthful now.
Right.
What, you know, the story I've been telling myself about this for 2 or 3 days isn't
right.
truthful.
Yeah.
And that's where truth comes in, too, is sometimes you can think something is true and it might take you a little bit of time to get to realizing it's not true. It's
yeah.
it's believing those old stories and hanging on to that past mm-hmm. shit that you were hanging on
it
to
is,
for
yeah.
all that time.
Yeah, there's a lot of people too that, you know, we talked about men. You mentioned earlier, Robin mentioned earlier about men being vulnerable, and I hear that a lot.
Mm.
You know, like we're in a group or, you know, social setting or even in like those rehab meetings and things like mm-hmm. that. People talk about that all the time. Like men aren't,
no,
they're not authentic. They're not transparent.
Right.
They can't talk about their feelings. And that comes from ego.
Yeah.
Right. Because men are trained to, and trained literally
mm-hmm.
to be like, oh, I'm this and
they're
I'm that and I can fight
yeah.
and I can protect and mm-hmm. I can do this and I can do that. And granted, of course, but everybody can fight and protect. Like
yeah.
everybody has that ability to do that. What really isn't important is having the ability to be authentic and not being fearful of being judged,
yeah.
you know, and that's where I think really genuine relationships are established and it becomes, mm-hmm. you know, like a good communication, right? Where you're not fearful
right.
and you can tell the truth.
Right.
And that's a big deal, you know, and, you know, the fear goes back to, you know, somebody's cheating and they continue to cheat or they continue to lie about when they cheated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that just snowballs again, that manifests into, you know, a shit show of all kinds of stuff, you
sure.
know, as we know. And people learn, not we, not you don't know, but I do. But, you know, people need to understand that, too. Like, if you're fearful of the truth, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that in itself is a huge, huge red flag,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that stuff, it's going to come out some way, somehow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I think, in general, boys are raised and conditioned differently than girls. That's just an understood. And
well, they have to be because girls
they
are
have
smarter,
to be.
Well, right?
I mean, girls are just, you know, they're told to be nice and mm-hmm. play nice and all those, you know, more emotionally connective words. Right. Mm-hmm. And with boys, it's, you know, be tough, you know, get up, you know,
yeah.
shake it off and all that kind of stuff, which is, you know, are you OK? You're tough. You can
mm-hmm.
do it. And with a girl, they might hold a girl longer. Oh, it's OK. You know, let me
yeah.
kiss it, that kind of stuff. So it's different. You know, just the parenting from early on,
mm-hmm.
and then you don't unlearn that. You know, you're suddenly 7 and
mm-hmm.
you know, you crash on your bike and somebody tells you you're fine.
Yeah, like wipe it off.
Or they ignore you. Yeah.
yeah.
So
yeah.
it's something that's been going on throughout life, and then suddenly you're, you know, whatever, 30, 40, 50, you're in a relationship and you're fearful that someone is going to see you vulnerable. Well, first
right.
of all, you have to be with someone who allows you to be vulnerable, that you feel safe with, emotionally
safe with.
That goes
both ways, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, men with women, women with men, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
For sure. Yeah.
So having that is the key. That's the foundation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I was going to say something else, but I actually forgot for once. Isn't that weird?
Probably because
I could have just like rambled on about something.
Probably because I said forgot. Something about crashing on your bike and you're probably like,
yeah, I'm probably like, shit.
I did crash you know, on my bike when I was bunch. Seven.
Right, right, yeah. But yeah, you know, I know what I was going to say. It popped back in. The interesting thing too is that people need to understand that you can't be fearful of evolution. And that word was used a little bit earlier
in
that, you know, it takes time to change your habits, your personality, you know, the way you react to things. It takes time to heal from things. You know, we talked about sobriety and things like that and people in rehab. It's not a 30-day deal.
Right.
Sometimes it's not a 60-day deal. Sometimes it's a year deal or longer.
Lifelong.
You know, and you're always changing and evolving. And that's important to keep the people around you that want you to change and help you change and evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, I'm not saying forgive because forgiveness is saying what you did is not okay, but it's in the past, right? That's forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
But letting you evolve and letting you become better is so, so important, especially in life and in general. And people that won't let you evolve and be better, that says everything about them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about them then, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
that says everything about their fear of not having you as you are with them.
Right.
Continuing on that
same
journey.
Because some people need that.
They want that same journey with you, yeah.
Right. Well, they want that same journey in general because that's their journey, right?
Right.
To live in, they're fearful of change again.
Yeah.
And not a judgment. That's okay. Lots of people live. That's fine, right? Like if that's how you want to live, that's your choice. But from like a healing standpoint or somebody that's dealing with trauma or events in their life that are difficult, you need to understand that those people need to go away.
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't want to be part of that group. If they're trying to hold you to your past, that's not people that you can have around if you want to heal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it doesn't work that way. It can't work that way.
Right.
You want the people that are like, hey, man, yeah, that sucked.
Mm-hmm.
You effed that up bad.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you doing to fix it? Like,
right.
And how can I help you?
Right.
You know, because that can't happen anymore. Right.
And what often happens, just knowing some of the things we've talked about, is as you express a need to change or you poke your head out of the sand here and there, you know, every year, 6 months, whatever, you're like, ooh, should I change? I don't know. And then go back in, stay down here. And you do it again and again, and the other person isn't accepting still, is eventually there's going to be some kind of, usually, some kind of a, I don't know, implosion, explosion, you know, like a huge dramatic, traumatic event, and a lot of shit can go down.
And Lee was saying, you know, in the rehab world or in that like healthcare world, the mental health world especially, is the people in that world continue to evolve because that's their job. That's what they do. And lots of them transition out of relationships that they were in either in the beginning or the middle of that process because, you know, if you're with a group of people that doesn't want to grow, they're like, no, man, I want to stay here in the past. I want to live my life like being pissed off about this or that or whatever. And then you're over here like evolving and growing. Well, then it just drops away.
It makes
doesn't
them
work.
Uncomfortable.
Right? You're like, okay, you're going to grow and evolve and I'm just going to pick somebody like you were before.
Yeah.
So I can have this same dynamic because I'm comfortable here. This is where I want to live. And that's cool too.
Yeah.
But people need to understand that, you know, having that self-worth and that self-confidence comes with healing and it's nothing to be fearful of. You can't be scared of losing your past because you have to lose your past.
You have to
move forward, you know, and you have to evolve and do the work too.
You can't have one foot in each.
Right. And then, you know, the other thing to talk about fear is that you can't be fearful of admitting at least your own truth and admitting that you're not a victim and that you were part of the problem. No matter what the problem was as an adult, you're fucking part of the problem.
Be accountable, yeah.
Yeah, be accountable for your stuff.
Sure.
And that's a big deal too, right? Yeah. You know, one of the examples that I use is like lawsuits. Like everybody has to be right, right? Like, no, it's your fault.
Yeah.
And you owe me or it's my fault.
Yeah.
And you, but it's really not. It's like two people had a conflict. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, sometimes there is compensation or whatever, jail, or who knows, right? Like whatever the consequence is, but also understanding like, hey, there's two things here. And I think that's where like, you know, like the law comes in, like that's what courtroom's for, right? Is like evaluating, you know what I'm saying? Like how that dynamic worked and two sides of the story and sharing information. And I mean, I know that's probably a bad example, but it's actually kind of a cool, like if you could actually do that, you know what I'm saying? And share like the truth, both sides or, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
It's pretty cool. So, you know, just not being fearful of conflict, like we said, not being fearful of evolution is huge.
Huge.
You know, But that relationship and that love, you know, like some people are scared of love.
I know.
Some people are scared of being attached.
Yes.
Some people are scared of a relationship.
Yes.
Some people are scared of commitment.
Yes.
You know, fearful of commitment.
Many, many people.
Mm-hmm. Like those are all things that just popped into my head just now, right? Mm-hmm. And somewhat, you know, I am too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I said before, I'm fearful of going back and feeling like I did before. Mm-hmm. Because I feel really good now. So I'm like, I just want to stay here.
Right.
You know what I mean? But right. You have to risk to win.
Yes.
You know, and you can't be fearful of
that risk.
You have
to risk it all
to
have it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it, yeah. So.
It's like the lottery. You can't win if you don't play.
Yeah. Right. And then, you know, also too, like when you're in a healthy place or you're in a place of growth, you can understand that, hey, no matter what, I healed from before and I can heal again.
Yes.
If something bad happens, but we're not planning for failure.
Well, but the thing is, like if you're talking about going into a relationship, going into it, you just have to have full awareness that I've been through everything.
Right.
And I've been through the heartaches, and I've been through this, and I've been through that. And today you sit here as a more whole, healthy, mentally strong person. Mm-hmm. And if something happens again, yeah, it'll hurt, but you'll be better off when you get on the other side of that and ready for the next best thing.
And you know, the other thing too, when we talk about rehab or recovery or whatever, you need to recover from your last relationship.
Yes.
Like you can't go from boom, 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 boom. Like literally you can't. Mm-mm. And we talked about that before. We were just like, oh, you just can't do that. And we're like, no, you actually, now it's like, there's reasons why you need to process. Mm-hmm. You need to establish, got to let go of your victimization. Mm-hmm. You need to know what your accountability is in that situation, in the mm-hmm. past situation. And then you need to decide, like, am I going to correct that?
Yep.
Or am I just going to keep doing the same shit over and over and over and over, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the most powerful thing. And the interesting thing is, too, is when you both, if you both decide to grow, like, say, you know, you talk about some of your past relationships and you were in a toxic relationship and you both decided to grow somewhat and mm-hmm. oh my God, now we can communicate. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're not together. Mm-hmm. Maybe it doesn't work out as a couple, but sure. Oh wow, we can actually have a conversation now and own our shit.
Right. And that's super how people powerful. Successfully co-parent.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Me and my ex, I mean, people know the story, right?
Right.
And we're fine. Like we even call each other names and we just have fun and joke around, you know?
Right. Right.
And that's a really cool thing. Mm-hmm. That's a really cool thing. Mm-hmm. And that's evolution.
Sure.
Right? Like we're not scared to evolve.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah. So.
Okay. So what's your biggest fear?
That feeling like I did before.
Feeling like
when
did.
I was in
going
that toxic
back.
World and I wasn't healthy. I'm scared of that. Like I don't want to be back there again.
Yeah.
And I think that creates a little bit of, you know, like a, not abandonment issues. What do you call like the attachment, like the, where you're reserved, like you don't. Avoidant.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm more avoidant because of that, because I don't really want to be in that space again. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. now I'm like happy as shit. Mm-hmm. And I have a great time and I have great friends and I have good relationships and, mm-hmm. you know, shit, we have Rock and Robin. Like, how do you get better than that? You know what I mean? And,
right.
and it's one of those things where I don't want to be in a toxic situation again.
Sure.
And I don't think I could be.
I don't think you will be, because you've gone through that healing journey to that point. You'll be able to recognize it quicker.
Sure.
So even when you let your guard down and you see it coming head on, it's like, okay, we're done. We're
like moving. The dating thing, right? But that's something I'm scared of, honestly.
You also know now that that's a choice.
Totally.
You didn't realize it was a choice then.
Well, because I didn't live in reality. I lived in a fantasy world.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And that's not addressing a specific relationship. That's
no,
in general,
I understand. I understand.
Right? Because it's funny, you know, when you start dating too soon, you repeat the exact same thing. It's it's the same person in a different wrapper. Mm-hmm. And that's where it comes to being truthful and not being a victim and actually doing the work and being alone for a little while and figuring out who you are. Because you truly do.
Yes.
You actually mimic the relationship over and over and over. And I've said that to you before. I'm like, dude, this is her in a different wrapper. How many times have I said that?
Same candy, different wrapper.
Totally. I'm like, shit, no way. Mm-hmm. But I figure it out in a week instead of like years. Yeah.
And instead of years. But what happens is that same situation is going to keep presenting itself
until you do figure it out. Right, exactly. Because you're attracting it for a reason, right?
Yeah.
And that's where it becomes like, okay, if I'm attracting that same type of person, then I must still be
it's to learn the lesson, though. It's not about the person.
True. Agreed. And then, again, I'm not saying it's bad.
And you can take 2 months to learn the lesson, or you can take 2 years or 2 decades.
Right.
But that lesson is going to keep showing up until you learn it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
And anyways, that's fascinating.
It is. It's pretty cool.
That makes us pretty lucky.
Yeah.
Because it's all up to us.
It is. It is. Well, it's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely.
That romanticism, we have to make a choice every day, right? And you can choose. And every day you wake up, too, people have to remember that every day you wake up, you make a choice.
Yeah.
Like, you can choose to be different than you were yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can choose to be the same, but you can choose to be different. You can choose to evolve, and you can choose to move forward and be better and grow.
Right, right.
Like, you can choose that every freaking day. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be who you were yesterday.
Right.
Right? So, mm-hmm. Anyway, that's my speech.
I like it.
I'm done.
Works.
I'm done for, like, 5 more minutes until we do another show.
Yeah.
Everybody, thanks for watching Scott Framler and Shelley Netco on The Mental Knot. We appreciate it. Have a great day.
Perfect.